Today's daf in Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach. And the last thing that we learned yesterday, we were a bit confused because, I don't know, we were in the middle of the sugya of the dinim of Tchumim Bichlal, and all of a sudden, like, we found ourselves involved in the questions that seem to go back to the idea of Erevin, even of Chatzeras. I mean, we started with Sheet of Mavos and the question of how it relates to an entire city, and the Mishnah had brought up this issue of, like, leaving a place out, like Ir Chadasha. I mean, it was like a Mishnah that really didn't belong here, Bichlal. I mean, so I understand that because of that Mishnah, we had to get involved in the sugya, but it was really a bit disturbing. Anyway, so we started talking yesterday, and if everybody's very good today, then I think we'll be able to figure out what the real mystery is over here, and it will be very, very enlightening, but everybody has to be good. So that means we get, there we go. Okay. So the last thing that we learned was that we have this idea, this new idea, interesting, that all the way through the Masechet, we never heard of this idea. All of a sudden, we have this new idea called a daka. And the daka, if you recall, works by taking an area that would otherwise have been considered to be one with a larger chatzar, and it was possible to opt out. So, I mean, we had a couple of these opt-out issues. I mean, one of them was the idea of the, if you're a chatzar apnimis, and the question is, can we view the door between them as if it's closed? And because of that, Rashi learned Kofen Amidas Daim, remember? Tosfos learned, of course, they have a right to continue to walk through the other chatzar, they just can't use the other chatzar, and so on. It was also an opting out kind of thing. And the idea of opting out also extended to the concept of take an area of the city that was once an era of Shol Rabim and now become an era of Shol Yochid. And because of that, it's likely to confuse people about how you made an Erev, so leave out a little bit of the area, so that area shouldn't have an Erev with the rest of the city. So all of that had to do with basically cutting out parts. And we learned that you could cut out by the Daka as well, and that was called the Stolokui Miocha. They were Masalik themselves. And that was talking about, remember, we ended up understanding it sort of like Bote Ungarin. I think it was Nachi sent the actual picture of Bote Ungarin. But anyway, it was sort of like a Bote Ungarin, except that we ended up understanding that the houses at the bottom of the chatzar were basement apartments, such that the second level of homes, the Mirpeset, was less than 10 tvachim above the ground level. It was pretty strange, kind of, but I mean, you do see places like that. We basically have these, Lakewood's got a lot of stuff like that, where you've got these windows that are basically basement windows. And, you know, so if you're a cave dweller, you can get used to that kind of thing. So that's the, that would be the way that we understood the Maisa yesterday. Today, we're just going to have actually the same idea. Remember that yesterday we're talking about what the din would be, according to Reb Nachman, with a ladder. So if you have a ladder going up a wall and a ladder coming down the wall, so we said yesterday that, oh, he considers that to be optional. In other words, if you want to use it as a mechitza, so then it can serve as a mechitza. And if you want to use it as a actual Pesach, you can use it as an actual Pesach. Today, we're going to find the same mimer, essentially, from Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And because then we're going to go through yesterday's Gemara again, that's why I reviewed it, so we can have a quick review of the sugya yesterday, because it's essentially the same thing of Rav Nachman, slightly different. So we're up to Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kotel Sheritzpa Besulamot. Okay, that's where we had stopped yesterday. So that's seven lines down. And what he says is that in the event that you actually take the entire wall and you cover the entire wall at the end of the city, at the end of your chatzar, the entire wall is covered by ladders. And then on the other side, there's ladders coming down where those ladders go up. So the idea over there is it's up to you. Even if the area that's covered by the ladders is more than 10 amos. So normally, if I would be forced to view it as a petach, so then the din is a petach that's more than 4 amos, actually demands a single erev between these two chatzeras, right? Because you've got a pirtza. A ladder, says Shmuel, is not a pirtza. And therefore, you want to use it as a mechitza, you can use it as a mechitza. So Torah is mechitza alav. The same question we had yesterday. How could Shmuel be reported as saying over here that it has a din of a mechitza, and what about yesterday we had Reb Nachman quoting Shmuel as saying, so yesterday we attacked Reb Nachman, today we're attacking Shmuel, but it's the same question. That in the case that you have people that live along the top of Bote Ungarn, so the Anshei Mirpeset and the Anshei Chotzer, they both made an Erev for themselves, but they forgot to make an Erev with each other. So then if they put up a daka, that's Arba'a Tvachim, so then the Mirpeset doesn't aser on the Chotzer, even though they obviously can only get out to the street by cutting across the other people's Chotzer. But Im Lav, it is Oseret. So I understand. I mean, according to you, they've got basically a stairwell. What is the point of the daka? No, we're talking about over here that the lower homes were basement apartments and the Mirpeset was within 10 Tvachim. So that if the Mirpeset is within 10 Tvachim, it basically doesn't exist. So what good is it to put up a daka if the entire area is completely parut? Same question we asked yesterday. So then kiyove daka, my havi. Doesn't make any difference, does it? No, see, it's talking about over here that there were walls at the side of the Mirpeset. And those walls ended at leaving 10 amas of the Mirpeset open to just jumping down from into the Chotzer. So then the point is it isn't really Porutz, but it's open to the size of Eser. So then it depends if you make the Daka. So then you're formally removing yourselves from the use of the Chotzer, and therefore it's not considered to Aser on the Chotzer. That's the point of the Daka. So the logavah mirpeset asara. So you'll say, if the logavah mirpeset asara, what good is the daka? Because we're talking about megufefet adeser amas. So the combination of having a valid petach, even though normally it wouldn't help you in a case where you've got to go through the other area, and it would be by definition one chotzer. But in this case, given the avid daka, is taluki stalek mihocha. Okay. Now, there was a maisa of these cuckoos. And whenever you're dealing with cuckoos, you know you're going to have a lot of trouble, because if they've got something to say about you, they'll find it. So anyway, these people from Cuckoo Land, B'nai Kukanoi, so they come to Rav Yosef. Now, B'nai Kukanoi had a problem, because that was a city that demanded a shiur, because it had been an ear of a rabbin that now was reduced. And so they come to Rav Yosef and they said, listen, we need somebody really reliable to make an Erev in our town because it's a complex situation over there. We got to figure out who we're going to be leaving out and what the shiur is and so on. So give us somebody we can trust. Uh-oh. When you hear those words, you know you're in for trouble, right? Especially when they come from Kukanoi. So Rav Yosef said to Abaye, you go out there. You make that Erev, but you make darn sure that I don't get a bunch of complaints coming from Kukanoi about how you messed up the Erev, okay? Okay. Seder. I mean, like, what could be so difficult about the Erev? So anyway, Abaye comes to Kukanoi. This is a very cute Gemara because the Gemara takes us through Abaye's thinking. So I'm going to do it this way. No. I better do it that way. No, I can't do it that way because then it's this way. So we go through the whole thing of his thinking, which allows us to figure out why Rabbi Yosef was nervous, because there was a lot to be nervous about. So here's how it started. So Abaye goes there, first of all, to take a survey, like, okay, what's the story over here with the Arab? So he goes out there, and he was causing the Hanu Bote de Ptichil Nahar. So he saw that the city of Kukanoi, it had a whole beach area, which was the beach town of Kukanoi. And over there, the people that lived in the beach town were not interested in having people breaking through and looking through the beach like people usually do, you know, Caesarea kind of thing. I dare you to go to the beach, you know, good night. So it's the same thing over there. So everybody built their houses along the beach, and the houses were facing the beach, and they did it. They closed off the back completely so that they had nothing to do with the rest of the city. Okay. So then he said, all right. So then let the beachfront homes be the shiur. I mean, anyway, they don't seem to give a hang. So we'll leave them out of the Erev. And that's the best solution because, I mean, when we're going to start deciding who to leave out of the Erev, that's all I need. So this is a perfect solution. Then he says, oh, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. I can't do that. Because the Mishnah's Lashon is, Ein ma'arvin et kula, you cannot make one Erev for the whole city. Now, doesn't that imply that if you wanted to, you would have been able to make one Erev for the whole city, and you have to leave it out And that is the zikaron that you're going to have, that there was a problem over here because it was a city with the Rishon LeZion once upon a time, right? But then if these people, anyway, I couldn't have made an Erev even if I wanted to. So if I couldn't have made an Erev if I wanted to, because there's no opening between them and the town, so then I can't use them as a shear. Darn it. So what am I going to do now? Oh, I have an idea. I know what I'll do. I'll pass a municipal law that these towns that are on beachfront have to have a window facing into the city, and that that window has to be 4 tvachim, and should be within 10 tvachim of the ground. And then the halacha is, if you have 4x4 windows that are within 10 tvachim, so then they can be used to be, if you want to, you don't have to, but those can be used to be ma'arev one chatzar with another chatzar. So then that way, at least I have the theoretical possibility of making an Erev, and therefore, if I don't make the Erev, I will leave them out, and then they will be the shiur. So they're not going to be tremendously happy, but at least it won't be as bad as my having to fight with people about who's going to be the shiur, right? I mean, you can imagine what the reaction would be when they get the order that they have to bust down the back of their houses and make a window. I mean, Rav Yosef was in for some serious trouble here. Anyway, so this way, if I make the kavi, the iboy, l'ruvik derech halonot motzim arvus, at least theoretically, there could have been an Erev. So then I can make them the shiur. Okay, he's about to pass this law, and then he's, wait a minute. No, that's a disaster. No, Rav Yosef is going to kill me. I don't need to make those windows. Whew, if I'd made those windows, I've never heard the end of it. Lo boy, I don't need to make the windows. Why? Because remember Rabba Bar Avua. Remember back in Mechuzah, we had this story before. And Mechuzah was like this really fancy town. So they used to have these avenues, and along the entire length of the avenues, they had these pits that had been made for the date pits. And that way, anybody that's walking along, it's like nowadays, you know, if you're in a fancy town and everybody's driving a Tesla, so you've got to have plug-in places for your Tesla. I mean, it's not going to go to a gas station. So, which is why, I mean, you got to live in a fancy place if you're going to have an electric car. So the same thing is true over there. So in Mechuzah, basically, everybody was driving the Shvarim, and the Shvarim require refueling all the time, so they won't put up gas stations. So instead, they had these pits, and they could just nibble on everybody's date pits they would throw out there. And that was great, because that made each neighborhood in town a completely separate neighborhood, so that what Rabba was able to do over there is that even though Mechuzah was obviously the Yerushal Rabim, it was a major city, so because of that, he was able to take each neighborhood as a completely separate city, because these deep pits, they were 10 tvachim deep. So since they were 10 tvachim deep and 4 wide, so because of that, each one of them was like a separate city, because it's like having a river going down between the cities. So since he was able to do that, neighborhood by separate neighborhood, right? Because of the Pira de Beit Turi, that's because of the pits that we had over there. So it's as if they had built this wall or pool between the neighborhoods. And even though I have to leave out Ki'ir Chadasha or whatever we pass, like Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, apparently this was okay, because it says he did the entire town this way. So how can you do the entire town? Where was the shiur? So obviously he held that each one of these neighborhoods became the shiur for the other neighborhood. So since when I get to the end of my neighborhood, and each one of these neighborhoods basically had these mevo'ot that were going down the middle and had chatzeres all around, these were big neighborhoods surrounded by these massive avenues where they had these pits. So apparently, since when I get to the end of my neighborhood, I know I can't carry into the next neighborhood. So then that will constantly remind me about the din of not making an Erev, and I can't carry, and this city was once had a Rishus HaRabim, et cetera, et cetera. And that's enough. But then that means if you can utilize the adjacent neighborhood to be the shiur for the neighborhood next to it, Even if I'd wanted to, how could I have made an Erev over there if I had these pits between us? I couldn't have made an Erev anyway. There were no crossovers. So it means that it does. I was wrong. And apparently you do not need the theoretical capability of making an Erev. So they wouldn't have been able to make an Erev. So you see, I was wrong. I made a diak in the Mishnah. Oh boy, did I just save myself. And I don't need to make those windows, and I can leave out the beachfront and everyone will be happy. Then he said, wait a minute. Oh, boy, am I going to be in trouble. No, I can't do that. So it's like really cute. So you really see like his thinking, right? No. It's all I would have needed to make that argument. It's not the same at all. Because in the case in Mechuza, actually, theoretically, they could have made an Erev. Because remember, Mechuza is like this really fancy place. So they had these upper story walkways that were really very pretty, and you could theoretically use the walkway that comes from the roofs. You could have used it to cross over and get to the next neighbor, and you could have made an Eruv over the roof. So that's to be by Lurve Derech Gagot, but over here in Cuckoo Town, what are you going to do? These beachfront houses have absolutely no way of joining the rest. Heck, I'm going to have to make those windows after all. I shall steel myself to come to the city council. He's on his way to the city council. He says, oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I don't need the windows. Right. Gavinami lo boy. No. Actually, I don't, because I just remembered that back in Pumpadisa. So over there, they had the same problem. They needed to make a shiur. And they included in the shiur, basically, they set up a straw village to use as the shiur, right? So like the Russians used to do in the war, you know? So they used the straw house, basically. It was a place where they used to store straw that belonged to Mar Bar Pumfidasa, and he came from Pumpadisa, and they used that as part of the shiur, even though you couldn't have included a store of straw as a shiur, as an Erev, but apparently it was okay to use it as a shiur, as long as obviously there were other homes there as well. So, okay, so even though these homes on the beachfront, they can't be part of an Erev, apparently I can still use them as a shiur. They're not worse than a straw house, right? Oh, no wonder Rabbi Yosef told me, you better make sure nobody comes back and starts screaming at me. Oh my God, it's a good thing he warned me. Because I would have just gone ahead like an idiot and got myself with a major problem. Okay, anyway, continues the Mishnah. So then Rav Yehuda says, you've got to leave out an area the size of the town of Chadasha in Eretz Yehuda. So Barnea still has not identified Chadasha. I mean, this comes from Sefer Yehoshua. Why can't you find it?
Well, from last round to the round before, I wrote Chadasha Southwest Shvelah. See also Chatzor and Chadada. Okay. The Southwest Shvela. I posted the reference on the page for people.
Okay. In any event, so the Brighter says, same thing, Rav Yehuda says, there was once this city in Yehuda that was called Chadasha, and it had 50 diorim in total, including men, women, and children, and that city was always used as the model for keeping things out. You notice whenever you want to be in a place where you withdraw from the rest of the world, so it's always Chadasha, New Square, New York, places where you have nothing to do with anybody else. So therefore, they call this Chadasha, and that became the model for withdrawal. Okay, so it meant that, and by the way, Chadasha itself was the first shiur of a big town. So, because it was right next to this big town, and they left out Chadasha. And so it actually was not only a model for the size, it was a model for the actual halacha. It was the shiur. So they wanted to know, so what about Chadasha itself? Can Chadasha have an Erev? Even if it's left out of the Erev of the original big city? What, are you crazy? Chadasha? What kind of nutty question is that? If Chadasha, a little town like Chadasha, 50 people, is enough to allow that the big town of which it's a part to be it's enough a shiur to allow the big town to be able to carry, so can't the big town be the shiur for Chadashah? What kind of weird question is that? So then Gedola Nami Lavi Shiur Lektana. I don't even understand, like, what are you thinking about? No, I don't mean that. I mean, if we've set up a model, and we're using the model as Chadashah, right? So what is the point of that model? Point of the model is that you're saying, even a town of the size of Chadashah, which is like the smallest you can go, serves as a proper shiur. So I'm interested in knowing, once, I mean, remember, we're talking about over here this big problem of you had once a big city, in the sense it was an Irshel Rabim, and now, what if it would actually become itself Chadashah, huh? In other words, what if this area literally turned into a ghost town, and now this city of 600,000 people, it now has 50 people left. And now we put up New York City population 50. So now the question is, does it still need a shiur? Because, you know, you never know. It may grow back into New York again, like people are still believing things are going to recover, you know. So it may become New York again. Is that true, that we would have to even be concerned? Or once it's already gotten down to the level of ghost town status like Chadashah, so then already you cannot worry about that. That's what I'm asking about. So when it's reduced to Chadashah, what's the deal? That's a machlokas. So Ravuna and Rav Yehuda are chaylik. Chadamar, it still requires a shiur. And the other one says, no, the whole point of using Chadashah is that things can get to a matzav in which we recognize clearly a place like that is not going to cause anybody to get confused about being able to carry without an Erev. Okay, so then remember, again, we always quote a little piece of the Mishnah. All right, so Rabbi Shimon says you don't need Kir Chadashah, would be enough to have Sholosh Chatzeras, and each one has only two batim. So Rabbi Chama Bar Guria quotes Rava saying, we pass like Rabbi Shimon, which is the norm. So we would paskin like Rabbi Shimon, we do not need the Ir Chadashah. It's enough to have just two chatzeres. And Rabbi Yitzchak says, look, I got to tell you something. As far as logic is concerned, I would say even one house, you know, or even one chatzer. What do you mean, even one chatzer? And even one house. Is the house in the chatzer, or this chatzer doesn't have any houses? You're saying even one chatzer without a house? What is that supposed to mean? I mean, it's ridiculous. Chotzer achas al kataitach, without a house. I mean, even one house and one chotzer is enough. Homele, a bailer of Yosef, where does that come from? I mean, Rabbi Yitzchak, how does Rabbi Yitzchak come? I mean, he's an Amora. How's he coming along now and telling us, you know, forget about Rabbi Yehuda, forget about Rabbi Shimon. What's going on over here? I mean, did he have like a Kabbalah from his Rebbe that there were the Chachomim who argued on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? He was telling you over the Chachomim? Or was he just saying mitzad asfari? He's saying, look, I mean, obviously I can't be chaylik on the Tanoim, but I'm just telling you, I mean, I don't see logically why even leaving out the single house, why isn't that enough? Oh, Marlene said, Rav Yosef, what the heck is the difference? We're not going to paskin like this guy. Let me tell you something. We got a Mishnah. We have a klal. The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. What do I care whether he had it as a Kabbalah? Even if he has a Kabbalah, we're not going to paskin like his Kabbalah against the Beferish Mishnah, are we? Oh, Marlene says, Abaye, you know, you're doing the same thing again. We're going to turn this into some kind of pop song? Gemara Gomer Zmuratatei. We're supposed to try to figure out what the Derech of the Gemara is and what it means when somebody says something like that. We are not just singing songs over here to keep us occupied. What are you asking me, my nafkamina? Well, then it's only nogeah if it would be nogeah la'alocha. And now we are ready for our kapitan. And now we are ready for our kapitan. I can only do this a couple of times, Rich. We seem to have some internet problems or some Richie Drift problems. I'm not sure what we have. Where is Doc when you need him?
Rabbi, I'll get back online.
Okay.
I claim seniority.
Okay, go for it.
Zuk Elek Mishpat.
Boy, that's a real internet comeback, man. Wow. Amazing. Okay, so now we get into more of this chaotic construction of this perek, and all of a sudden we're back to Tchumin for some reason. I mean, this is really cuckoo, no? Mishaya b'mizrach. So a guy is out working, let's say he's working in his vineyard, whatever, to the east, and he says to his son, do me a favor, run over to the west and make me an Erev, because I want to walk over there tomorrow. I want to be able to walk 2,000 amas further. Or vice versa. He's in the Ma'arav. He says, his son, you make me to the east. So then it depends what the situation is. If the distance between him to his home is 2,000 amas, or obviously or less than 2,000 amas, but the problem is that for him to be able to get to his Erev, it's going to be more than 2,000 amas because the son put the Erev to the other side of the city, more than 2,000 amas from where the father was when it was time for Shabbos. So then he's only allowed to have the tchum of his home because he wasn't able to be at the Erev. And he's not going to be allowed to use the tchum of his Erev. So he'd be mutar lebeito, but he would be asur la'eruvo. Now, there's obviously a stira between this case and the case that we had before of a guy who was on the road. So remember, the case where a guy is on the road and he thinks that he's going to be able to get to a different place, or he doesn't realize that he made his Erev wrong by putting it, by apparating to the bottom of a tree where the tree was so big that it wasn't clear where the makom of his Erev was. So we said over there that because of the fact that he said he wants his Erev in a different place, he loses the place where he is. He cannot, if it turns out his Erev wasn't good, he cannot opt for, okay, fine, so at least I have the place where I am, right? So how come over here, if the father had basically opted out and he told his son to make him an Erev that was 2,000 amas further than his house, so how can he suddenly decide, okay, never mind, at least I have my house, even though I don't have that Erev? Isn't that a contradiction to the case of the guy who was on the road? So Rashi explains there's a big difference. And that is that the guy who is on the road, where we're saying he should be able to be kena the makom shvisa where he is, that makom shvisa is a totally arbitrary place as far as he's concerned, right? I mean, there's nothing special about the place where he happens to be. So the moment that he said, I want my Erev somewhere else, he's opting out of the place where he is. But a guy who has a real house, he doesn't opt out of his house unless he really has a 100% viable option. So over there, when he tells his son, go make me an Erev on the east, he knows darn well that if there's going to be any problem, he certainly does not intend to be living out in the middle of nowhere. And so, of course, he wasn't mevater on his home. So that's not a problem at all, says Rashi. Okay. I mean, that makes a great deal of sense. So how about if it's the other way around? How about it's further to his house than it is to his Erev? Now, this doesn't seem to make sense, right? I mean, because we have a mental image of what the situation over here is. There was the house was where it all started, right? The guy was to the east. I thought that meant he was to the east of his house. And he said, make the Erev to the west. So there's no way that he can be closer to the Erev than to his house. I mean, what in the world is this supposed to mean? Okay, so the Gemara's going to ask, can you please set up the case for me? Because the way you set it up doesn't make any sense. Okay, but whatever the case is, if somehow or other, he is capable of getting to his Erev on Shabbos, by Shabbos, and he cannot get to his house because there's more than 2,000 amas. So then it's the exact opposite. Then he's usher to the trum of his home, but he's mutter to use the trum of his Erev. If he puts his Erev anywhere within the extensions of the city that we call the Ibur Ha'ir. So let's say a guy basically lives in Lifta, okay, in terms of Yerushalayim. He puts his city, he thinks he wants to walk 2,000 amas past Lifta. Now, what he doesn't realize is he doesn't need an Erev to walk 2,000 amas past Lifta, because to his right, he's got all the way till Kever Shmuel Anovi that's got houses going within the Ibur Shel Ir. And to the left, he's got all the way to Hadassah Hospital that's got houses that's out of the Ibur Shel Ir. So basically, that whole middle area that he thinks is just, you know, parkland and Mayanot and so on, it's the middle of town. Then this guy does exactly that. He puts his Erev in a place where little does he understand. It's within the Ibura Shel'ir. So what happens? Absolutely nothing. He doesn't lose his home because he put an Erev in the Ibura Shel'ir. It's a meaningless act because an Erev means outside of the city. Or if he puts it inside the city. So there, forget it. It doesn't cost him anything, right? But if he puts his Erev even one Amah outside of the Tchum, now this is obviously a mistake, because if you put your Erev outside of the Tchum, it's not an Erev at all. So the Gemara is going to adjust this later on to read, Nitono Eruvo Chutz Li'iburo Shel'ir Afilu Amah Achas. So for every Amah that you put your Erev outside of the current city limits, you lose one Amah on the other side. You put it 10 amas out, you lose 10 amas. You're not able to walk to the other side. You put it 2,000 amas, you're not allowed to walk at all in the other direction from the city. And you can only walk from your Erev onwards, right? Now, this is a concept that we've known all through the Masechet, but we only articulate it here so that the amount of your Erev always steals the other Tchum from you. And Erev never really gives you more place to walk. All it does is it changes the direction in which that place is oriented. So now you can walk the entire 4,000 amas from the west side, but you can't walk the original 2,000 amas that you had in the east side. So you took it away from there in order to put it here, right? Okay, so that's the klal. So if you put it even one ama out, then the deal is you lose precisely the amount that you gained. So masha niskar, whatever was gained in the direction of your Erev, is lost in the other direction. Okay. Now, gentlemen, it now becomes clear why what we thought was a digression was not a digression. And it furthermore now becomes clear why we never heard of a daka until now. And that's because of a brilliant construction of the Masechet. A daka is an anti-Erev. A daka gains you in the opposite direction of where the daka is, but loses you your right to go in the direction that the daka is, you see? So it's literally a mirror image of an Erev. By putting the daka there, you now are allowed to carry where you are, but you don't get any place to carry outside of the daka. So it's the antithesis of an Erev. An Erev takes away the area on the other side of the Erev and gives you the land outside of the Erev further. A daka keeps the land that you had on the inside of the daka by removing your rights to go outside the daka. So since you were mistalik yourself from here, istaluke, the istaluke is what gives you the right to have where you are. Isn't that amazing? What a bunch of schleppers. My God, what do I get, two smiles? I can't take it. Even the Reb is looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm giving up. I'm just going to turn off my videos so that I don't have to watch this. Mayor Simcha, what do you say?
I lost Rabbi a few days ago when my chavruta with Daniel was put on pause for a full moment. I lost all my co-hosts to understand what's going on.
Daniel, what's going on over here? Lo tamod al dam reyecha. All right. Anyway, I hope some people enjoyed the Dhaka Erev insight. Okay. Anyway, let's go back to trying to understand the way that the Mishnah is set up, because on the surface, it doesn't make any sense. How can you possibly be closer to your Erev than you are to your house if you had put the Erev on the other side of your house? That would be a heck of a trick. So Kasalka Daita, so in other words, what we thought was initially that the point that we were referring to, east or west of, was your house, okay? So Kasaka Daitach, everything was relative to the house. So Kasaka Daitach L'Mizrach meant to the east of your house. L'Marav meant to the west of your house, which means that the house will always be closer to you than the Erev, because your house is directly between you and the Erev on a straight line. That's what we thought. So then, I mean, the first case makes perfectly good sense. So Bishlama, if it's further to the Erev, you can get to your house, But Eimenu le'iruvo, it's more, okay, it's obvious. I mean, you can reach your house, the matila betiv le'matil le'iruvo, you can get to your house, but you can't reach the eruv because it's further. Fine. That's great. West is always the opposite direction as east. If you were able to walk west enough to get to your home, you can't move west enough to get to the eruv. That's perfectly okay. But how the heck could the second case in the Mishnah ever make sense? How suddenly could you be closer to your eruv than you are to your house? It's nonsense. Hey, menu v'le eruvo alpayim am lebeso. It's more than alpayim am. So then, obviously, we don't understand the case. Amrev Yitzhar, why did you jump to conclusions that the relative point over here is everything being relative to your house? What makes you think that's the point? You're talking to somebody, right? You're talking to your son. So why isn't the reference to relative to the son? So all we need to say is, Mi Safrat Lemizrach means Lemizrach Beito, Lemarav means Lemarav Beito. Absolutely no reason to say that. It means, Lemizrach means to your, you tell your son, put it to your east. Lemarav means to your west. That's what we're talking about. So then fine, so then I'm not telling you where the Erev is vis-a-vis me, I'm telling you where it is vis-a-vis my son. So why couldn't the Erev be closer to me than my own home? I don't understand. It depends where my son was standing, obviously. Rava Bar of Shila says, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, first of all, the normal way of understanding the point of reference is for an Erev is the Erev relates to your home. It doesn't relate to your kid because you happen to ask him for an Erev. I don't believe it. And I don't understand what the problem is. You're assuming that you live in flatland. Why are you living in flatland? It's very simple. The guy is to the east of his home, but he's to the northeast of his home. He's working in his vineyard out there. It's in the northeast, okay? He says to his son, I want to be able to travel outside of town all the way to the west. So make me an Erev. So now, obviously, to get to his home, which is on a diagonal, because let's say his home is smack bang in the middle of town, right? And he's in the northeast. So it may be the diagonal to his home is longer than the distance directly across that part of the city to the Erev. What's the big deal? All you need to have is an additional dimension, which if you don't have, then you're demented. So what's wrong with it? It makes perfectly good sense. So afilu teima lemizrach means lemizrach beito, lemarav means lemarav beito. Why can't his house be located on the diagonal of where you currently are, okay? So you're going to koi beite be'alachsuna. Great. Now the next piece of the Mishnah is nuts. Hanotene ruvo betoche ibura. But if he puts it even one amma outside of the tchum, what do you mean outside of the tchum? How can you put an Erev outside of the Trum? Chutz the Trum, Salkadaitach? Then it's not an Erev at all. No, of course, it doesn't mean Chutz the Trum. It means Chutz the Trum of the city itself, the city boundaries, meaning the Ibur. So, Ela'ema Chutz le'Ibura shall ear. So then whatever you gain is what you lose. So, Mashin Iskar hu mafsid. Wait a second over here, baby. That is not at all accurate. Because while you were in the city, you had a right to carry the entire city and then start your 2,000 amas to the east, right? Now, if you move your home outside of the city, let's assume that the city is 50 miles long. If you don't live in that city, you don't have the 50 miles of the city. So what do you mean you only lost? You lost 50 miles besides the 2,000 amas on the other side. What are you telling me? Marshin Niskar, we've seen. If you moved it out of town, then you moved it out of town. So how in the world would you tell me that it's okay? You just basically have the same amount. You don't have the same amount, not at all. So Mashin Iskarvetulo, and what about the Braita that says, Hanotein et eruv obetochi burashel ir, lo asavalo klum. Fine. Nitano chutzli burashel ir, afilu ama achat. All you get is one ama, but what do you lose? You lose the whole city. And if that city is 50 kilometers long, you lost those 50 kilometers besides that amma. So how can we ignore that? Mafsidit kola ir kula. Because the midata ir counts towards your measuring the trum. So it's olalo b'midata trum. So now you're going to only have the 2,000 ammas from that point, which is one amma outside of the town, because you are not a resident in the town, you're a resident in the Erev. So we're ignoring that? No, I'm not ignoring it, you see, but I want to make it clear that it's not a given It's not a given at all, because Lamaisa, it depends. If the town is actually subsumed within the 2,000 amas, then the town doesn't count towards the 2,000 amas. Remember? Once it's subsumed, we count the entire town as if it's 4 amas. So if that's the case, there's two separate cases. The Mishnah and the Braita are not talking about the same case. The Braita was talking about where if you start counting 2,000 amas, you find yourself in the middle of the town and there's another 50 kilometers ahead of you. So then you lost the 50 kilometers. But the case in the Mishnah is talking about where if you count 2,000 amas, you're already out on the other side of the next town because it's a small town and it's included. If it's included, then it doesn't deduct from what it is that you gained, because Ravidi pointed this out. Om Ravidi, Om Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Hayamo deid uba. A guy is measuring out his tchum, and he's on his way towards a town, which he was out of before, and now his 2,000 amas end in the middle of that town. He can't walk even an inch further. Ein lo ela chatzi ha'ir. He gets exactly what it is that he got up to. He doesn't have any right to, well, I landed in the middle of town anyway, so let me go ahead and continue to walk. No, you can't do that. Kalta midato b'sofa here, but if I discover that I've gotten all the way to the end of the other town, then I don't have a problem, because then the entire town flips into the equivalent of 4 amas. So now it says, lo ha'ir kula ka'arba amot, and then mashlimin lo ha'ashir, and then he can continue measuring on as if he only walked 4 amas. As far as why those 4 amas per se are not mentioned on any way is a problem, why do you say only for every ama you lose an ama? It's not true. You automatically lose the 4 amas of the city. So Tosis points out, but that's because when you went out of the city 1 ama, you have your 4 amas, right? Because we always give you 4 amas. So those are the 4 amas of the town on the other side. So basically you only lose whatever you lost from going to the tchum. Okay, very cute. So anyway, Rav Edi, after saying himself what Rav Yeshua ben Levi said, that this is true, there's a difference between being subsumed by another tchum or not being subsumed by another tchum. Look, I got to tell you, I mean, it's none of my business. I'm just quoting Rav Yeshua ben Levi. But I mean, if you want me to be able to prove this from anywhere else, I mean, you might as well ask Elio Anavi. I mean, because there's no basis for this. It's like divrei nevius, you know? I mean, it's a, I don't know, it's some kind of clear Kabbalah, I don't know, whatever it is. There's no indication of such a concept anywhere. So it's like, it's unbelievable. It must be that this is something that we were Makabal, and that's how we know it. Because, I mean, logically, what difference does it make? Mali kalta b'chatzia yir, mali kalta b'sofia, if you're including the city into the area of the tchum. So then if it was the whole city, then it used up your whole tchum. If it was half of the city, so then the half of the city used up your whole tchum. I don't understand why a city should suddenly disappear because it was swallowed by the tchum. Says Rava, what do you mean we can't derive it? We absolutely can derive it 100%. And I can show you right from the Mishnah that it's clear this difference, both elements, are clear in the Mishnah. If you get up to only half of the city, then the city counts towards your tchum. And the other din, if it's subsumed in the tchum, it doesn't count towards your tchum at all. Okay, you want me to show you? Look at this. The Mishnah says, the Anshe Ha'ir Hagedola, which we'll be coming to, so the people that live in a large town that is near a small town, they are allowed to walk through the entire small town. However, the people in the small town are not allowed to walk through the entire big town. Now, this makes sense to you? I understand. If you're talking about overlapping tchumim, and you believe that overlapping tchumim gives you a right to continue to walk, so what is this? I mean, it sounds like it's pure out-and-out discrimination. I mean, just because the guy comes from a small town, we got to treat him like a nobody? If he's in a small town, he should have just as much a right to continue to walk in the big town as the big town has in the small town. There's only one possible explanation. And that is relative to the small town, the big city extends beyond the tchum. And relative to someone who lives in the big town, the small town is subsumed in the tchum. Very simple, right? So there you go. So lab mishum da hanikalta midatan bechatsiya ir, va hanikalta midatan besofir. I mean, it's the only way to make any sense out of the Mishnah. So what are you telling me? It's the brain of Vias. If you learn the next Mishnah, you already know that that's true from the Mishnah itself. As a matter of fact, I don't even know why you need it quoted from Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. It's the Beferish Mishnah. So it's clear, I mean, Rabbi Edi must have had a different girsa in that Mishnah, which we will discuss tomorrow because we want to see how the two different girsos add up.